We kind of have this inside Creed joke going on. You just got to know. But I'm not gonna tell you because it's inside, and then it wouldn't be inside anymore. Everybody should make fun of them. Okay, now it's not inside. man, I just got to tell you, I just got wrecked backstage. I don't know about you, but man, God's just really moving in my heart. I hope that I can get through this. The first service, he showed that video. Of course, I never know. You never know what is going to be on the screen when I come out, or when Ben comes out, or anybody. And just like Ben, I came out first service, they're playing the Spider-Man theme song over top of that. And I'm like looking at the screen, like, what is on the screen? And it's me on the screen. And it's like, Spider-Man. I was like, what in the world? And I just told the guys backstage that I'm going to need Spider-Man to get me through this after just getting wrecked. And so then I didn't get Spider-Man, but I got Creed. So, you know, that's a blessing. And I told him I was going to need something else that's also involved in the service, which I won't disclose yet, will help me get through it too. Let me share with you a couple things going on. And we got a couple things to pray about and some great stuff. I really feel like God is going to move to the service today, by the way. First thing I want to let you know about Wednesday night, Group Link. This is where you find community within our church. A lot of churches do Sunday school and that type of thing. We do home teams or small groups, as you may know them, or community groups that meet in homes during the week. Here's how this works. Wednesday night, 6:30, you come, you show up. It's childcare, all that good stuff. But you come and you'll hear leaders share about the small group that they're going to start probably in their home, which if it's like ours, it bounces between homes. You'll hear about them talk about when it's going to meet, what time it is, you know, all that kind of stuff, what day of the week it is. So based on hearing them share about, you know, what's going on and what they're starting, you select which group you're going to be. And you'll actually Wednesday night get with your group for the first time and meet one another for a few minutes and talk about when you're going to first meet and get together and all that good stuff. So here's how, this is the cool thing about this. Because everybody is new, and because, you know, it's not like, you know, you're going in on a group that's already been started or whatever. There's not like, you know, inside Creed jokes that not everybody knows about or, you know, whatever. You know, so you can go in knowing that everybody's just like you. They're just getting to meet everybody and just getting to know everybody. Listen, this is Acts 2. This is what we see the early church doing, meeting in homes. This is so important. And I know some of you have been in these in the past and you're not in one now, or you know, maybe you were in one and it fizzled out here or another church, whatever. I just can't encourage you enough. We need this. I need this. I'm in a home team. I am in a home team. And although I'm the leader, we all share responsibility of teaching. And it's one of those great things because we provide curriculum where you don't have to be some, you know, biblical scholar to lead. It's, you know, it's discussion oriented and it's everybody involved, and it's just plain awesome. And it will be so good for you and your family. So listen, get in a home team. Doesn't matter if you're single, doesn't matter if you're married, doesn't matter if you got kids, have kids. Whatever, nobody cares. Get in a home team, okay? Be scriptural about you know, being in community with one another and other believers and encouraging and accountability and all that good stuff. So that's Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8. There are packets out in the foyer. There's a sign-in, sign-up, you know, sign-up, all that good stuff. If you can tell, I'm still just like, just overcoming the whole thing here. Secondly, it seemed like I had two things in the first service, and I've got like, I don't know, it multiplies by the time it gets to the second service. That's what you get for coming late. Secondly, I want to recognize just somebody here. I don't usually get an opportunity to do this very often. We got somebody with us this morning that has really meant a lot to my life. For a couple of years of my ministry and student ministry, we served in West Tennessee in Collierville, Tennessee. And you all know that I was a student pastor for many years. And a couple is here this morning that were both servants of the Lord, as far as I'm concerned, ministering to teenagers within our student ministry there. They were there doing it before I got there, for a long time before I was there, and they were doing it after I was gone. And it's Ken and Chu. Ken, where are you at? And Chu, where are you at? I'm going to embarrass you guys. Oh, there we go, right there. She's waving. He is not about this, I can tell you. But I want to bring this up because I want to use them as a godly example, and I hope this is okay with you guys. And I think the glory goes to God here, and not to you guys, and you'll appreciate that. These guys served in a way that I saw them touch the lives of kids. Ken, let me tell you about Ken alone. Girls are one thing. They, you know, girls can hang with girls and, you know, choose, like, yeah, girls are great, right? Easy, easy breezy for you, right? Ken did something that I have rarely see men do. And that was love Jesus so much that they would be willing to give time to ministering to senior boys. I'm talking about like seniors in high school boys, just seniors. Now, I got to tell you, when I first got there, the group of senior boys that I had when I walked in the door, they did not come to church. They did not come to the Wednesday night thing that we did that's like fuel here. They didn't do any of that. This is what they did. They went to his Sunday school class. Every Sunday, they would not miss. Chew, I'm not lying, am I? I mean, I'm talking about, I'd go into a room full of football players and guys that I don't know who could reach them. But God allowed Ken Hawkins to do that. I say this to say that. But there's a bunch of men in our church that are sitting on the sidelines that are just kind of thinking about what God might want to do with you. I'm here to tell you that God could use you to change the lives of some guys. Believe that with all my heart because I've seen it. And there are guys here in at this church right now, one of them that played on that drum set just a minute ago, that would say, my life is different because of Ken Hawkins and because Jesus Christ used him in my life. And again, the glory goes to God. So I say that to say thank you, guys. It's awesome having you here. And to, yeah, go for that. And to say, and just to challenge the men of our church and the ladies, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Whatever it is that God's putting on your heart, don't be afraid of it. Serve the Lord. He just loved those guys. That's all it was. He was real with them. He didn't BS with them. He didn't mess around. They just knew he was who he was. And they loved that about him. And they loved that he loved them. So thank you guys. So good to have you guys here. Yeah. Russ, are you here? Come here. And Jesse, come on down here. Now I asked if we could pray for them. I didn't tell them I was going to bring them down front. I usually don't do that to people, but I'm going to do it to them today. This is Russ and Jesse. And Russ, man, I just feel like you just got back. And he is deploying this week, right?
Yeah, Friday.
And I wanted, before he took off, I wanted for us to just get some guys and some ladies that would want to come and lay hands on these guys and let's pray for them. These are awesome folks. Jesse is the one who did the Haiti song website. Just did it for us, and I mean, just almost overnight. So just awesome people, love the Lord. Let's pray for them together as we get a great chance to do this here as Russ is going to be going overseas. God, I thank you, Lord, for couples like Russ and Jesse that have a heart to serve you. And God, I pray, Lord, for guys like Russ that have a heart to serve, Lord, people in ways that, Lord, I can't even understand in the way that he is doing and has done and is about to be doing for the next year. God, I pray, Lord, for their marriage. And I pray, Lord, that you would just have your hand on them of protection. God, that we as a church would come around both Jesse and him, and especially Jesse while he is gone, that we would just come around her and that we would love on her. God, there are so many others like Russ and Jesse here this morning, some that their husband is overseas right now. God, I just pray, Lord, that we would be a church that would love on those families. God, thank you for their willingness to serve you and our country. God, we love you. May you be glorified in their lives and in the life of our church. In your name I pray, amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Russ. All right. Y'all got a while? God has really worked me over. Here's what happened. A few weeks ago, we kind of have a message schedule stuff I've been working through, that we've been working through. I've been working through with the other guys and stuff, and they helped sign off on and try to help me with stuff. And we had some other stuff planned for this week and next week, and my life has just been crazy. I had three papers due yesterday. the message today. We leave for staff retreat right after the service today, which meant I had stuff to get ready for it too, and I'm still doing that. So all that to say, I've been kind of nutso, and a couple weeks ago, praise the Lord, Nathan and Ben looked at me and said, would you maybe just want to like take a break and not do what you know you were planning on doing and maybe just speak about something from your heart? And I said, I would love that. That would be great. And they've seen me kind of dealing with stuff and know that I've been convicted about some stuff. And so today I'm talking about one of the things that God has convicted my heart about here in the last little while. And it's one of those things that as soon as you hear it, you're going to go, oh, okay, I'm good. I got this. Because it's something so simple that most of us think, oh, you know, I've got this. You know, it's not a big deal and, you know, and I'm good with this. And the truth is that for the most part, most of us are terrible at it, even though it is so simple. And if you didn't know, you know, last year as we were praying about this year, about 2010 and the life of 24 Church and what that looks like, you know, I was... We were kind of talking and praying about, you know, this theme. We kind of felt led to a theme for this year. And we've kind of mentioned it a couple times, and it's flown under the radar quite a bit at the same time. But hopefully it has bled through in everything that we've been doing through the parenting series that we just finished to what I'm talking about today. And it's the theme of restoration. And you've probably heard us mention that, and you're going to continue to hear us throughout the year mention that, as again, it will bleed through the other things that we teach throughout the rest of this year. But today, this idea of restoration is one of those things that I think for so many of us, you know, we hear it, we have, you know, things, worldly things that we think of when we think about restoration, but what we don't generally think about and what we don't usually think about is the process of restoration in our lives. And how we are restored. You know, and for the most part, you know, what I get from a lot of Christians is, you know, I go to church, I got saved, I'm not real interested in getting my hands too dirty in kingdom work because really I'm just kind of treating life as a waiting room until I die. And for those folks, they're completely missing God working through them to minister to senior boys, or to wave at people in the parking lot and make them feel welcome as they're coming in. And I just, it just has gotten all over me, something that happened about a month ago when I went to class in Seattle. I'm in school right now, if you didn't know, if you're just joining us or whatever, I'm working on a master's degree, I won't go once a month to Seattle. And I was in Seattle this past month and was in class. And while I was in class, the professor said something that was just profound. And it's really what this is kind of coming from. And it was so profound that it just jolted me good. But at the same time, it was so simple that as soon as he said it, I had this feeling, and it's not that my other school stuff hasn't been great. It's been great. I've been challenged. I've learned a lot. It's been really good. But in the moment of him saying it and my world just kind of getting rocked, I thought to myself, you know, I have spent thousands of dollars and flown on I don't know how many airplanes between here and Seattle. One time they actually sent me to New York City before they would send me to Nashville, amazingly enough. How many times I have done all this and how much stuff I have done, all this just to hear him say this. Read your Bible. Really? I mean, because I was just like, gosh, how many times have I heard that? How many times do I need to hear that? And God just began to convict my heart and convict my heart and convict my heart about not pursuing him enough through his word. And so I have this question to ask. And the question is this: what brings restoration for us? What brings restoration for us? If we're broken, if we're sinners, like Scripture says, then what brings restoration for us? Only Jesus can bring restoration for us.
but our pursuit of him is a process. The restoration is a process. God didn't in the moment that we were saved just go, bam, you're restored. He didn't do that. Why not? We're going to look at that. As I've been studying on this, one particular thing keeps coming up through the scripture about this particular subject. And it's the subject of a sword. And it's talking about how scripture is like a sword. Now, this is just me and my stupid, crazy mind. And excuse me, I'm going to have to get a bag off a table back here. I'll just keep talking. But thank you. First class service right there. But don't worry. As I've been thinking about this whole sword thing, I've been thinking about this one thing that just keeps coming back from my childhood. Now, some of you will appreciate this, and some of you will not. And for those of you that don't, I'm sorry, okay? This is from the 80s, and if you missed the 80s, then you missed this. So let's just go ahead. It's silly. It's almost cheesy. Actually, it's a lot of cheesy. Let's just go ahead. We'll watch this video together. Enjoy for just a moment, okay? You know that sound if you know it.
And the masters of the universe. I am Adam, Prince of Eternia and defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend.
With a normal big
fabulous
cat.
Secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword and said,
by the power of Grayskull,
the sword comes into play, okay? Yeah.
Cringer became the mighty Battle Cat, and I became He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe.
At this point, we're really just watching just for the sake of its silliness.
Our friends, the Sorceress, Man-at-Arms, and Orko. Together, we defend Castle Grayskull from the evil forces of Skeletor.
Awesome is that? Is that not great? Yeah. This is the great thing that happened. After the first service, we had a guy run straight home and come back. And what did, lo and behold, what did he bring? He brought some of the guys. And here's your normal Adam. He's just a normal guy. You know, that's him there. He's probably not gonna, here, we'll face plant him. And then you got the real deal, and he is like, you know, I hadn't noticed this before, but he's like mostly naked right there. He has got that little Tarzan thing going on, you know. And then I love this because probably my favorite part of that is the fact that he has this huge cat that's just a normal cat, and then he turns into the Battle Cat. You know, how awesome is that? Is that not unbelievable? So these are not idols, by the way. I'm just setting them there. I know some of you love He-Man and all. Silly, okay? But, you know, the funny thing about that is that, you know, he gets the sword. You know, he is like the normal guy, and he gets out the sword, and he's like, all of a sudden, you know, he's the He-Man guy, and he's like, you know, I have the power, you know, and it's like, really? Really? And it, cheesy as it may be, whatever. You know, the funny thing is that when we see the sword talked about in Scripture, the sword is referring to God's Word. And God's Word really is, it really is the most powerful thing that we have. Not above God, not above the Holy Spirit or something here. I'm not saying that. But it is the most powerful thing that God has given us to live this life. And as silly and as many times as we've heard, read the Bible, we're not good at it. We may have moments where we're good at it, and some people are good at it. But for the most part, most of us just keep
failing at doing this. And when we hear a message like this, we feel like a failure. We're like, oh gosh, I'm such a terrible Christian. I don't even know why God loves me. You know, and the truth is that's not where I want to go with this. This morning, my hope is that we will walk away from spending time in God's Word encouraged to spend time in God's Word. I want to look at the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20, and this is where we have the armor of God. Many of you heard this passage before. Maybe if you grew up in Sunday school, you know, you had some Sunday school teacher that, like, you know, taped, you know, pieces of paper with the words of what they were to different parts of your body or whatever. And, you know, I don't know, crazy, I know. Maybe that was just me. I'm sorry. But it's one of those things that, you know, I think for many of us, we've heard people talk about the armor of God and putting on the armor of God. This passage is talking about that. And it brings to life some things for us that are so important. Because here's the truth. The truth is that we are battling against Satan. We're battling against spiritual warfare. And this passage talks about that. And it talks about how we are to be strong. In fact, the very first verse that we're going to read, in fact, if you've got your Bible, please get it out. Please bring your Bibles with you. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says this. And I'm going to have you underlining some stuff, so be ready. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And if you've got the word strong there, underline the word strong or whatever you have. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Underline the word stand. Underline the word stand. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. This is like some Castle Grayskull stuff right here. In the heavenly places. In the heavenly places. You know, and I want to kind of stop there for just a second. Because I think for so many of us, we're not thinking about the spiritual warfare that's happening in day-to-day life. And I recognize that. And me too. For whatever reason, it's like, you know, we kind of fall out of thinking about that at times. But then there are moments where I see Satan begin to rip relationships apart and people apart and, you know, situations apart and all kinds of things. And they don't see it at times. And then yet I get to see it at times. And then I look at them and go, you realize what's happening? And they're like, well, yeah, they're being stupid. I'm going, no. Satan is having a field day with you. This verse shows us that Satan plus evil forces that are under his dominion are running amok. Now, here's the great thing about that, and I want to be careful about using the word his dominion, because the truth is that Scripture teaches us over and over again that God has power over all of these things. Over every single one of these things, God has power. There is no reason for us to fear this. But there is reason for us to see it and to know that it exists. And there is reason all the more in understanding that we are called to put on this armor. If we do not, chances are we will not, verse 10, finally be strong. Verse 11, be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We need the armor to be able to battle against this stuff. We are in battle, if you didn't know. It's called spiritual warfare. Verse 13, it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, underline withstand, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm, underline stand, underline stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, you can underline stand there again if you want to, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now, right here, we've got several things. And I'll be honest with you, we don't have time to unpack every one of these things. I mean, I could do a series about the armor of God. But, you know, we've got some basic things here. We've got righteousness. We've got truth. We've got the gospel. These are parts. These are aspects. And you should go home today and look over this passage of Scripture. Read over it. Pray over it. Ask God to show you things about it that in your life you can apply to make you ready, to make you be able to stand, to give you strength to be able to stand against the evil one. Verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. I love this. With which you can extinguish all flaming darts of the evil one. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Through our faith in Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, there is nothing that Satan can throw at us that we cannot extinguish. Better put, that he cannot extinguish. How awesome is that? I mean, that's our faith. And then we wonder, why does Satan want to make us doubt? Why does Satan want to make us, you know, think, oh, well, God's word doesn't speak to me. He doesn't want us to have faith. He loves throwing stuff at us. He loves getting at us. He loves when our faith is weak because it hurts us, and he loves it. And God is saying, in faith, you can extinguish those things. Verse 18, or verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. That is, by the way, what we receive through Jesus Christ as our saviors, as our Savior. I mean, is salvation. It is the saving grace of God. That we would receive salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now let's just stop right there for just a second. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now I think it's important for us to think about for a few minutes God's Word and how we approach it. And we're going to talk a little bit here and there about this over the next few minutes. But I think it's important for us to just think about how we approach it. I mean, and I want to ask you the question, how do you approach God's Word when you go to read the Bible? And you may be able to honestly say, Chris, I don't know the last time I read the Bible. On my own, I come to church every once in a while or whatever. How do you approach Scripture? You see, it's important for us to understand a couple of things here. Number one, that God reveals himself through his word. If we want to know God, if we want to know more about him, if we want to be more passionately in love with him, whatever it may be, through his word. He reveals himself through his word. We get to know him through his word. I'm talking in our home team this week a little bit about this. I just off the cuff kind of made up the illustration and it was worthwhile. But, you know, I talked about how a few weeks ago, and we try to have date night every week. And a couple weeks ago, we went on date night, and I was just talking about this specific night because I think we both really enjoyed ourselves, although sometimes I'm not sure that she does because I drag her to places that I want to go. You've been there, right? I know. And so we went to this restaurant downtown, really fancy restaurant, really good food. We had great dinner. You know, we got to spend time together just talking, and we had fun together, my wife and I, Aaron and I. And I just told them, I said, you know, I think the mistake that so many couples make, and ladies, again, you can thank me, you can pay me later, okay? The mistake that so many couples make is that they quit pursuing one another. You remember the pursuit when you first met that person? You remember that? We are to continue to pursue our spouse in the same way. And the pursuit by itself shows that we love them. The activity that happens from the pursuit grows the relationship together more and more. When we quit pursuing one another, it grows old and stale, and then we don't know who we're married to one day when the kids leave the house. The pursuit is so important, and it is just, if not more important, when it comes to our pursuit with Jesus Christ, when it comes to our pursuit with God. And if we are going to pursue God, we've got to spend time in His Word, because this is where He reveals Himself. He ordained it this way. He ordained that these prophets and apostles would record these things on His behalf, that we might have them for us to read. And here's something cool. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit, one part of the Trinity, Trinity being God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all equally God, three different parts. Crazy stuff. Whole nother series, okay? But the Holy Spirit, God Himself, lives in your heart. And because of that, if we will study God's Word with the right heart, seeking God, looking for Him, asking Him to be a part of the process, the Holy Spirit will allow God's Word to be illuminated in our lives in ways that we will never have imagined. He will show us things about ourselves. I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to go on. Verse 18. Tied directly to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And what Paul is saying is, look, you don't just read it. You don't just read it. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you pray. You pray. You pray. God, show me. And I got to tell you, there are days, because of my occupation, where I will pick up the Bible and start studying for something because, you know, I've got a lot of things to get studied up for. And it may be a message, it may be something I'm working through, whatever. And before I know it, I'll be halfway into it and realize I have not yet once talked to God about this. With prayer and supplication, we need to ask God to show us who He is through His Word when we get ready to study it. I'm just going to tell you, if people start doing this in our church is going to change. And I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's going to look like something God wants it to look like. And I'm all for that. Let's go with that one, okay? Verse 19. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And I love that. I love that. You know why I love that? This is Paul, and he is humbly saying right there, he's humbly alluding to the fact that he doesn't feel like that he is proclaiming the gospel himself good enough. And I'm just thinking, of all in history that have ever proclaimed the gospel, who's done it better other than Jesus than Paul? I don't know. But he's making the point that we will never proclaim the gospel. We won't be able to proclaim the gospel without spending time in God's Word. God has to reveal Himself and change our hearts and create transformation and restoration in us for us to be able to carry out the will of God. It just has to be that way. And it brings us to the subject of sanctification. Sanctification. This is another one of those big words. We talked about this a little bit last week with justification and regeneration and some of that stuff. Sanctification. Easy. God sanctifies us. It is a process over time. Remember, a few minutes ago, I asked you, why when we got saved at that very minute, why didn't God just restore us? Boom! It's done. You're done. The done thing doesn't work that way. Restoration doesn't work that way. My parents, a long time ago, maybe you've heard me talk about this before, but when I was a kid, we bought this old house in Western Kentucky. really old, like 1904 or something like that. Victorian house, really cool place. A lot of woodwork, and they redid it and refinished the floors and stripped the wallpaper. I mean, just all this craziness, tons of work, tons and tons of work. My dad is not the carpenter type. He's not the mechanic type. This is the same man I taught how to change his oil when I was a teenager. Love him to death, just not his gift. And, you know, we were just talking about this a couple weeks ago, which is the funny part about this, and this whole, the old house deal. And we were talking about, he was talking to me. He said, you know, I'll never forget that deal, because it was one phase after another of working on that house. He said consistently over and over and over again, we just had something else coming up that we had to do on that house. And I'll never forget, and he brought this up. He said one night, you know, he said, you remember that night, you know, that I realized that we needed a roof? I was like, yeah, I do remember that, because it was like in the middle of the night, like 2 or 3 in the morning. The man didn't even own a ladder, big two-story house, and, you know, people, you know, who's he going to call? He's going to, not Ghostbusters, he's going to call, you know, men in the church. So at like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, he talks like some men in the church are coming over, and they're up on the roof and they're nailing down tarps, you know, and who knows where they got those. And they're nailing these tarps down all over the roof to try to, you know, make it where, you know, the rain will, because there's just like water coming in everywhere. We hadn't even lived in it that long. And it was just ruining stuff that they had done, paint and all this, you know, craziness. And he's just talking about how, you know, it's just one deal after another. One deal after another. And that's restoration. That's restoration. You know, for us to understand that God allows us to go through things, testing. In fact, Romans 12, verse 2 says this. Romans 12, 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And we ask ourselves questions all the time about God, why do I have to go through the testing part? What is the deal with that, God? Why do I have to do that? And it's because it's through those things that he is restoring us, so that through those things we will be able to discern what the will of God is and what is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight. We need that stuff, and it hurts to go through it. But here's the thing. Do not be, a lot of people, we see this verse and we focus in on do not be conformed to this world. And obviously that's an important part, piece of this. But the very next statement, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How in the world can we do that? Scripture. We are renewed in our mind by studying God's word, through spending time with God in his word. It's so simple, isn't it? I mean, it's crazy how simple it is. It's crazy. Hey, see, while like I'm sitting in Seattle a month ago and I'm going, really? I had to come here to get it, to get this right now at this moment in my life. And how many times have I heard this, and how many times has God taught it to me? Just like I'm sure many of you right now, as you're hearing this, it's him, it's not me, by the way. We tend to be hard-headed. Hebrews 4:12 says this. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. A two-edged sword. I mean, you think about this. Even in the offensive position, a two-edged sword has two blades, right? So even in the offensive position, there's still a blade pointing back to us. God's word works like a sword. It cuts things. It helps us to see things that we need separated and cut apart for us to understand, for us to follow in what the will of God is. It divides us in an understanding of who God is versus who we are. It divides an understanding of right from wrong, from dark and light. God's word, the sword, is the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. You know, and we know that we're supposed to read it. We get that, but I think we're missing it. I think we're treating it like the homework assignment that we don't want to do, instead of recognizing that in doing this, in studying His Word, that we are pursuing Him, learning more about who He is, all the while being changed and transformed and sanctified, that we would be restored to what He wants us to be. And again, it's so simple that sometimes we just completely miss it. The funny thing is we know that we came to the knowledge of Christ by hearing the Word of God. Through God's Word, we came to an understanding that Jesus could save us and came to Christ. Saved us. But yet we won't go back to the same thing sometimes because we're too busy, or whatever it may be, for it to guide us in everything else. It was good for the saving. God, thanks for the saving. Appreciate that. Appreciate you showing me those things. But God, I got it from here because I'm pretty smart. No way. God is convicting my heart that I don't spend enough time pursuing Him through His Word. And if I had to guess, the majority of Christians are probably in the same boat. If we would seek God through His Word and allow Him to show Himself through us and through our lives, through the transformation of our lives, because what's going to happen is if we spend time with God, we're going to experience sanctification. God is going to change us. He is going to restore us. You say, Chris, I just don't even know where to start. I'm so overwhelmed by it. Don't be overwhelmed by it. So much of it is Him explaining what He is trying to do for us to save us, to sanctify us, to justify us, to use us to glory Him, to make much of Him. And that's it. If we do this, we will in turn live lives that glorify Him. If we spend time seeking God and pursuing Him, we will come out the other side glorifying Him. A couple of scriptures. Just want to read them. They're not on the screen. Just listen. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Need hope? God's word. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. You know, some of us are believers, and we may be here today saying, you know, I need help to be able to stand strong against Satan and all the junk that he's going to throw my way. You're right. I need it. I need it. Something terrible. And God has given us the armor to be able to use to do that. I encourage you to go and study that. If you need something to study, if you want to let God speak to your heart today, go home this afternoon and spend some time studying that passage even more. There's so much there, so much I didn't unpack. But for us to be strong in the Lord, to stand against the schemes of the devil, to withstand the evil day, to stand firm, we've got to stand on and spend time in the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We can't stand without it. And you may be here going, I need that help. I'm a Christian and I need that help. Or you may be here this morning, you may just be going, you know what? I'm not a Christian. Or I've been going to church and I'm not even sure what I am. I have questions. That's okay. What's not okay is to not do something about either of those things. If you feel God speaking to your heart as I've been praying that He would, I want you to know that myself and some other folks that just want to love on you and talk with you and pray with you will be back there to try to help answer any questions. In that corner, we can move out in the foyer, whatever we need to do. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, move today on it. As soon as I leave the stage, we'll be heading back into that corner. Listen to God. I don't care whether you listen to me or not. Listen to what God is saying to your heart, if He is speaking to your heart. Let us be lovers of God. Let us pursue Him through His Word. Let us submit ourselves to God's will, resisting sin, seeking holiness, and working to be more godly. That starts with us pursuing Him. Let's be a group of people. Let's be a group of believers, a church, a bride of Christ that pursues God in all that we do. Let me pray. God, I thank You so much for Your Word. God, I pray that it would speak to our hearts. God, I pray that You would bring restoration to the lives of people that need it, to the people that don't know You. God, I pray, Lord, that You would bring them, Lord, for the very first time, salvation. God, that You would save them from their sin. God, as You have saved me from my sin. God, I pray, Lord, that we would constantly rely on You and seek You, repenting of our sin. God, we are never going to be perfect. We are never going to be fully restored on this earth. But God, one day, yes, when You call us home, You will finish the job. You will restore us all the way. Until then, God, we've got an opportunity to allow You to work in our lives, to see You move with power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to do great things for Your kingdom. God, if You can use us to do great things for Your kingdom, then God, please use us. May we not be afraid of the evil one. May we not be afraid of anything but You. God, may we seek You with all of our hearts. Save those that need to be saved. Draw near those that need to be drawn near. Lord, may we pursue You with all of our hearts. In Your name I pray.